Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Joshua chapter 5. Just out of reverence for God's word, what we like to do here, for those of you here for the first time, is we like to stand to our feet in reverence for the reading of God's word. We've only got three verses just to start with, so it'll be a short standing. It's not like one of those 15-verse gems that I usually preach from. Joshua chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 13 to 15. If you're there, let's read together. It says, "When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' And he said, 'No, but I am commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does the Lord say to his servant?' And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." Lord, I'm thankful for this opportunity to delve into your word, to teach your word. God, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would come and meet us here in a powerful way. Lord, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, may your word address the things in our hearts, Lord, to draw us even closer to you. Father, I'm praying, Lord, that you would help me to move out of the way, that we'd hear directly from the throne room of Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. We're concluding our re-series, where we've been talking about going back to the original intent. For those of you are here for the first time, again, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and we welcome you here. But the title of my message today, as we're closing the series out, and this has been the one that I've kind of been anticipating the most to preach on. I've been really thankful to take you all through the opportunity to really delve into Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and just really seeking God's original intent for our lives. But this one's been really laying on my heart for quite a while. And the title of my message today is Reconcile. Now, if we're looking at the original intent of God making man, and I touched on this last week, but I'm going to expand on it a little bit more. We go back to Genesis 1. We start from the very beginning. And Genesis 1 says in verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Can you turn to three people around you and tell them, "You are made in the image of God"? If you want to, you can turn to them and quote James Blunt and say, "You're beautiful, it's true. When I saw your face in a crowded room, and I don't know what to do." I think that's how the lyrics go. I can't remember. Anyway, then if we go to the next verse, it says here, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So already we're starting to see diversity in the image of God. Are you with me? We're starting to see diversity. As we were talking about last week, some people say diverse, some people say diverse. We're already diverse in the way we say diverse or diverse. And then verse 28, the next verse, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it.'" Everybody say, "Fill the earth and subdue it." Now check this out. If you look at human DNA and how we're made up, no matter what part of the world you come from, we are the same in terms of the structure and how we're made. At the percentage of 99.5%, we're the same. The difference is like maybe it's the melanin, maybe it's our eye color, maybe it's the amount of hair or lack thereof we have, or the color of our hair, and just the little outward things. But if you strip that all away, we are pretty much the same because we've been made in the image of God. But what has happened over periods of time is that we've separated out into these different ethnicities. Now, I need you to understand this biblically. There is only one race, and that is the race called the human race. There are many ethnicities, but there's only one race. What has ended up happening is, and this is where we get the term racism, is that we've divided races up into the different ways that we're made up, whether it's our skin color, whether it's the way that our faces look or our appearance. And we begin to subjugate and separate people off into different people groups. Now, I'm not just specifically talking about racism or ethnicity, but I want to talk about reconciliation across the board, and then we'll zone in a little bit on different areas. And I have a special guest that's going to come and help me unpack this a little bit as well. But when I think about reconciliation, growing up during the 80s, how many of you were born after the 80s? Okay, so I need to unpack this for all these beautiful young people in this room today, because you missed out on the biggest selling album of all time, which was Michael Jackson's Thriller, all right? And the second single from Michael Jackson's Thriller was a song called Beat It. How many of you remember Beat It? Dun, 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 dun. Has one of the best guitar solos on it of all time. Only Michael Jackson can be an R&B artist and win best rock song at the Grammys. He did with Beat It, because Eddie Van Halen shredded that guitar on the bridge. The premise of this now legendary music video is that Michael Jackson is lying on his bed and he hears news of these two gangs that are about to get into a fight. And only Michael Jackson can do this. He is lying in his bed wearing a piano t-shirt saying, I'm going to stop this fight. And so he goes to where the battle is, and there's the two gangs. They're there, and you know they're starting to fight, and Michael Jackson gets in between them, and how he stops the fight is he dances, and everybody dances with him. How many of you know the moves to Beat It? Come, show. Just beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. No one wants to beat it, beat it. How many of you know a pastor's wife that will get up and do that? I love you even more. Thank you for that. Was not planned, by the way. But she was ready in season and out of season. That's the way we roll. And that's the way we will never forget this message. You'll forget everything else that I say, but you'll remember the pastor's wife danced the Beat It routine. All right. But Michael Jackson gets in the middle and begins this process of reconciliation in this now legendary music video. So let's go back to this passage and get back in the spirit. It says here, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now, I just want to stop here for a moment and just begin to address this. See, whatever people group that we're a part of, we begin to see others as other people. And so we see them as adversaries. And it's interesting here, he asks, are you on our side or are you on our adversary's side or are you on our enemy's side? What does he say? What does God say? Does God say, yeah, I'm on your side. I'm not on your adversary's side. No, I love that God says through this servant, this angel, he says, nah, no. But I'm the commander of the Lord, and now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You see, God has provided a third option. He says, I'm not on your side. I'm not on your adversary's side. Both of y'all need to come to my side. And how do we come to his side? Joshua responded by worshiping God. Worshiping God. When we come together and worship, again, one of the things we celebrate here is diversity in terms of how God has created us. Look, if you look across this room, there's many generations, there's many different nations. That's the kingdom of God. You're not going to like heaven much if you're looking for the Pacific Island section of heaven. Oh, where's the Pinoy section of heaven? Where's the Chinese section of heaven? Where's the white Australian section of heaven? There's no sections. You're not going to like it very much. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is now holy. See, if you can imagine, Helios, come back up here. I want to make use of you while you're here. Come on up here. Go stand on that side. Oh, actually, you stand here. I'll do all the work. Helios is a strapping young Asian man from Hong Kong, right? I know that because I know him. I know a lot about his background. I know a lot about his family, what he likes, what he dislikes, because I spend a lot of time with Helios. But if I'm over here, I can easily have my own biases towards him as an Asian, not being Asian, as somebody who's younger. I can look at his hairstyle and kind of judge him based on that. Maybe I look at him and then begin to see, oh, he must like this because he looks this way. But what happens is, like, if we meet me in the middle, bro, if we meet together in the middle in a place of worship, that's also where reconciliation can happen, where we can begin to know one another and we can begin to build relationally across not just ethnic divides, but across generational divides, where we can begin to understand one another. And as relationships are built, trust is therefore built, and then we can share a lot more of our heart. Now, again, I've said this just about 10 minutes ago, I'll say it again. This is one of my best friends on the planet. I love this man. But it's been because we've spent a lot of time together, and it's been because, you know, we've shared hearts. He's let me speak into his life, and we've had some many, many challenging conversations as well. But that's only made our bond stronger to the point where we walk together. And that's what we want to see in the kingdom of God. That's what we want to see in our church. That's what the world is looking for. So you can go ahead and sit down. Now, thank you very much. Give him a hand, one more hand. And that's the holy place. So that's a place where, not literally, but that's a place that is holy, where you take your proverbial sandals off your feet. That's the holy ground of which God brings us together. Now, this does not mean, I want to touch on this. And next year, I plan to do a whole series on reconciliation where we begin to unpack this a lot more. But I'm just touching on this. Let me just give you an entry point. I'm not saying that we should be colorblind. I want you to hear me right. God has made all of us of different pigmentation, right? I've had people come up to me and say, you know what, Nelly, I don't see brown. I'm colorblind. And I'm like, no, God made me brown. I'm brown. That's what I bring to the mix. God made me a Samoan. I'm very proud of the way God has created. I'm not on my Samoan-ness. My Fa Samoa is not an idol to me. Every part of my culture that is not subjugated under the spirit of the law of God through the scriptures and through what Jesus has endorsed, then I'll abandon those parts of my culture. But ultimately, God has made me Samoan. I'm thankful he has made me Samoan, because that's what I bring to the kingdom of God. That's the part of the image of God that I bring to the mix. God has also made me a hip-hop head. I like hip-hop. Some of y'all in this room may not like hip-hop. How many of you like hip-hop? How many of you can't stand hip-hop? Let us pray. How many of you like country music? See, I will still walk with you. There's nothing wrong with country music as long as it's not playing near me too often. All right? Oh, the worst is techno. How many of you like techno? See, that's the kingdom of God. We'll walk together. Just don't turn your radio up near me. Then just so we fight to bring it all together, right? To walk together, despite our taste, despite the way that we're wired. In fact, you know, I will make an effort to see how I can cross that bridge that stands between me and others. This is the nation of Bhutan. I thought it was a picturesque image of a valley. This is also where one of our newer church plants has happened in every nation. And praise God, we have actually been able to help support out of this church, help support the purchase of land for our church in Bhutan, right near the university, a prime land that was offered to us, our movement. So keep your eye on Bhutan. But I just saw this picture of this valley, and I thought, this is the image that stands, you know, between us and others. You know, like, it might be your own personal biases, but it's also group biases, because what we end up doing is we gravitate towards people who are like us. And this is what we call in-group bias. So us, we'll be the in-group, and everybody else will be the out-group. So it's people who are like us. Maybe it's not just ethnicity. Maybe it's your political preference. Like, you look at some of the nations in this world. I look at the divide politically in the U.S. right now. It's really getting quite brutal, to be honest. And we need to pray for the United States. We need to desperately pray for that nation, because of the divide. And it's funny, because you'll have Christians on both sides of the Republican and the Democratic side of the ledger that will say, we are the Christians. We're the Christians because we support this policy. No, but we're the Christians because we support this policy. Same thing here in Australia with regards to the conservatives and the liberals. And so it's us and them. You can't be a Christian unless you follow my political preference. But how many of us are able to actually say no. Like, understand that Jesus says, are you on the Republican side or are you on the Democrat side? Are you on the conservative side or are you on the liberal side? And hear the Spirit of God say, no, y'all need to come and worship. Just put aside your political differences. Put aside your ethnic differences that cause you to subjugate yourself away from other people. Stay true to your convictions, but have those conversations in the middle, in the presence of God where I am worshipped. God never intended for us to be of many races, many ethnicities. Yes, the difference between race and ethnicity is race is what you look like. Ethnicity, at least in terms of sociology, but we're all, if you understand, we're all created as the human race with that diversity. Ethnicity is based on culture and national background. My question to you, I'm just going to throw these questions up. Feel free to take a picture of these photos if you want it as a challenge for yourself. But my question is to you today, who do you consider your in-group? And how do you feel with interacting with your in-group, with someone and with someone in your out-group? So a group that's not like you at all. Do you have much interaction with people that don't speak the same language as you or who don't live on the same side of the city as you? Don't have the same economic background. Now, here's where I wanted to invite my guests to prepare. But like, we are in this nation of Australia. How many of you were not born in Australia but migrated here? All right, that's most of us. Look around the room. Just keep your hands up. That's most of us. A lot of you here, praise God, are true blue Australians. God bless you. Please don't joke about New Zealand being part of Australia because that'll be half of those hands down. But like, most of us migrated here. But it's easy for us to just come into this nation and think, you know what, I'm just going to seek the opportunities that are available to me in this nation and not get involved necessarily in the reconciliation that needs to happen in this nation, to not necessarily get involved with the history, understanding there's a blessing in this land when you sow yourself in this land. This is your nation now. Not just because you have a job here so you can get money, but this is where God has called you. Are you with me? God wants your heart to beat for this land. God wants your heart to beat. If you live in Brisbane, God wants your heart to beat for Brisbane. But it takes us coming off of that valley, off of the mountain, coming, meeting Brisbane in the valley and just beginning to see the heartbeat of Jesus in this nation, whether it's on the campus, in the streets, in your own neighborhood. Do you know your neighbors that live next door to you? And a part of the sordid history of this nation, as I acknowledge the custodians of this land, the indigenous people of this land, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders of this land, of whom we come into, they are the longest, if you look at history, they are the longest now ethnicity that still remain in their native country and have not migrated elsewhere. The Aboriginal ethnicity, the people of this land, the First Nation people, are actually the longest primary people in any land in this world. But a lot of injustice has happened in this nation. And I just wanted to touch on this, and I'll invite my sister Chantel to come up, and we're going to just spend some time conversing. Come on up and take a seat with me. As she's coming to prepare my beautiful Torres Strait Islander sister. But I just wanted to say this, my friends, that we can't take this land for granted. We are here blessed because people have gone before us. Just two different highlights that I urge you to just look at. And this is not just for bitterness sake so that we can continue to stay bitter at whoever is at fault. I just need you to understand the history of this nation, whether it's the colonization of this nation and how this nation was basically taken from the Aboriginal people of this land. I'll leave it to you to do more reading. But even in this state, we have what's called the stolen generation that from 1910 to 1970, children were forced out of their homes and their families and forced into situations where they were institutionalized to, quote-unquote, whiten them up. And they lost a lot of their culture because of this. And this was all implemented by political policies that only ceased as recently as the 1970s. And a lot of that happened in this state, in Queensland. And a lot of that happened under the endorsement of even Christians. I don't know about you, but as a migrant to this nation, I've only been here 4 years. But Australia is my land. And if I begin to see that this is a part of the history of my nation, I want to make it right as a follower of Jesus. I can't walk around just being blind to the history of this taking place in my land. Does this make sense? I know this is one of those messages, hey, what happened to the Michael Jackson funny stuff? Like, I need you to understand this is the land that we live in, and these are the opportunities we have to bring reconciliation. So, Chantal, my sister, tell us a little bit about yourself so that everybody here can get to know you. And yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Kapu batanga, good morning. Yeah, my name's Chantal. I'm 28. I am a social work student in my second year at, yes, girl, Maddie, I see you, at QUT. I've been in Brisbane almost 2 years. I grew up in the Northern Territory. My mother's country is the Innisfail area, so Shani and Steph, North Queensland, Mamu people. My dad's from the Torres Strait Islands, Saibai. So, yeah, I grew up in a Christian family. My mother's side, Pentecostal, AOG. The Torres Strait side is Anglican, from the missionaries up there. I guess I became a Christian, like as in relationship with Jesus, when I was 19. I think that was just my way of wanting to know the difference between a religion and relationship with God. So that was kind of where I started off. A little bit shaky, had some setbacks along the way. When I first came to Brisbane, I was far from God, but really restored relationship with Him being here in Every Nation Fam.
Amen, amen. So thankful to have you here as a part of this spiritual family as well. You know, as I'm learning more and more about the history of this nation, I really respect the heritage that you come from and honor that in you. And I just wanted to ask you, like, what role does your heritage play in your life, and what involvement do you have in the community as well with regards to all that?
Yeah. Look, as being First Nations person, I believe God has blessed us to be the caretakers of this land, physically, relationally, and spiritually, and I take that role very seriously. So it's a big responsibility. And yeah, I'm involved in different areas, from kind of community work to I try and get involved in, you know, events in the city. I've done a lot of stuff back in the Northern Territory, community work, kind of across all sectors. Yeah. Try and stay connected to the mob.
Yeah.
It's definitely being in the city and not being, you know, with my family. That's really important to me. Yeah.
So as I was saying, like, as a migrant, how can we remain connected to awareness and opportunities that there might be just to see the plight of the original peoples of this land, and also just to be a blessing? Because I really believe biblically that if we bless this land in accordance with the scripture that's on the fridge that people skip over, Jeremiah 29, right? If we sow ourselves in the land that we're in and build for ourselves a home and be a blessing, that God's going to bless us. How can we be a blessing to the people of this land? And how can we strike up awareness of what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you've already touched on the history. It's really important to understand the context, I think, to understand Australia today and why there are so many issues here today. Having that awareness, it helps us to know what to pray for our nation, I think.
That's right.
How to move forward and build relationships the right way. But yeah, I know you. There's many resources, like great websites that I think you might touch on to really read up and find out that information.
Yeah. You can mention.
Yeah. So there's Australians Together, mm-hmm. There's Reconciliation Australia.
Yeah.
Those are two really good ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm here to have a yarn if you have questions and I acknowledge that I don't have all the answers. I'm one Indigenous perspective. Yeah. There are many.
That's right.
I understand that it's an awkward conversation.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
But we need to come to that place and work through.
Yeah.
Be okay with.
Yeah.
Be okay with the awkwardness to
right.
You know, come to that place of finding common ground and unity.
Mm. Yeah. Let me pray at this point, Chantal. Father, I just want to pray, Lord, as a migrant to this land, I just honor the Indigenous people of this land and being the First Nation people. And Lord, we as a church just pray a blessing upon the peoples of this land. As our history is checkered, there's been great things about the history of this land, but there's also been some activity that's happened that has not been pleasing to you, especially when it comes to ethnic injustice. And so, God, I'm praying, Lord, for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, and that we as a church would be aware of opportunities that we have. And just be aware. I just pray you raise the level of awareness, not just in this church, but across the body of Christ, for us to be ministers of reconciliation, to draw people back to the original intent. I thank you for the boldness of my sister Chantal to come up and share and have this conversation with me. In the presence of our spiritual family, just to ignite something in us, to stir up our hearts against injustice and towards the cross of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for it. Bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give it up for Chantal? Thanks so much. Thank you. Yeah, it is an awkward conversation to have, so I really wanted to honor Chantal for boldly stepping up. See, I need you to understand this premise. What has been talked about a lot in our schools is evolution. And the primary document, I was reminded of it last night when I was watching a movie with Tina, is The Origin of Species. Many of you are familiar with this this work that was done by Charles Darwin. This is the inner title page, and I don't know if you can see up there, the subtitle, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. The whole premise of evolution is actually to see favored races emerge and nullify other races. And that's what we're battling. We see, creation and evolution is not just science. There's actually a premise of division that it's empowered by, where people are drawn away from a sense of purpose found in God, being made in His image, and drawn into a place where they either feel lower than than who God has made them to be, or to exalt themselves as higher and privileged and empowered in a place where they begin to abuse that power. And that's the whole premise behind evolution, because it's the survival of the fittest. Whereas in creation, we see that God has created every single one of us. No matter what ethnicity you're a part of, you are a child of God. You have been made in His image. I'm closing with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer." See, it's not about what the flesh looks like on the outside, but God, what God has done on the inside. Because the next verse, very famous one, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." How many of you are in Christ in here? Yeah. How many of you are in Christ in here? How many of you are new creations, new creatures? And I'm thankful for that. Sure, I'm Solomon, but firstly, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. And that's what I bring to the mix. That's the way God has made me. God made you Malaysian. God made you Singaporean. God made you Filipino. God made you Brazilian. God made you whatever ethnicity you're in here, Samoan, Tongan. Like when I was looking on that screen and I saw Every Nation Fiji is the only Polynesian church. Well, it's Melanesian, but I'll scrape it in and call it Polynesian. I was like, man, where's the Every Nation Samoa? Where's Every Nation Tonga? Where's Every Nation Rarotonga? Where's Every Nation Niue? I know there's only 800 people left on the rock, but we'll save them all. Because we've got 10 times the population of the rock in Auckland. Wherever there's an island, we will take it to the islands. But it starts with us crossing the barriers. Because it's not just going to be Samoans that reach Samoa. Do you realize our senior pastors in Papua New Guinea are Filipino? And some of you will be like, yeah, well, Filipinos can't be that effective. My friend, Pastor Sherwin, is doing the damage reaching the people of that great land. And I know we've got some PNG representation in this room, but it takes people thinking past their ethnicity, going, man, you know what? I'm not just going to think that way in my city, because it gets ignited in our city to go to the nations. Sure, it's great to see Samoans reaching Samoans, or Tongans reaching Tongans, or Chinese reaching Chinese. But it's even more powerful when we cross those ethnic lines and meet in the middle and worship. Have those awkward conversations and worship together. All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So you want to talk about a ministry of reconciliation? It started with Jesus in the first place. How did he reconcile? He laid his life down. He met us in the middle. He left heaven, came to earth, and laid his life down that we may be reconciled to God. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Lift your hands one more time. If you're a new creation, new creature, lift your hands real quick. You are called to the ministry of reconciliation. Because Jesus has reconciled you, you are called to the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors means we represent. How's your representation of Jesus? How do you represent him? In your life, in your integrity? In the way that you show up and look, people won't trust you to be reconcilers if you can't be trustworthy. God is making his appeal through us. Hopefully you can hear the Spirit of God doing this. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Look at the price of reconciliation here as I close. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's reconciliation, my friends. Jesus became sin. He knew no sin, but he became sin so that we in him we might become the righteousness of God. You have been made righteous. You have been made holy. You have been made a child of God because of the price of reconciliation that's been paid for you. Now it's on us and allowing the Holy Spirit through us to see reconciliation happen with others. Will you meet other people in the awkward middle, to have awkward conversations so that we can see and wrestle out every ounce of racism, every ounce of bigotry that exists, every ounce of injustice, if we'll just meet them in the middle. Today, I want us to kill the teapot syndrome. What is the teapot syndrome? T-P-O-T. Those people over there. Thank you, Adele. From now on, we begin to see those people as our people. If we see the broken in Brisbane, let's begin to see how we can see reconciliation happen. And like I said, I plan to unpack this a lot more next year in a whole series, because this is a topic that I'm willing to meet you in the awkward middle, because this service has been one of the most silent services I've been in. And I understand, because the space of this conversation is awkward, but it deserves attention. It needs attention because Jesus died to give it attention. Will you meet me in the middle?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.